Chapter 6. Although jumping to conclusions is an expression, rather than an activity, it is as dangerous as jumping off a cliff, jumping in front of a moving train, and jumping for joy. If you jump off a cliff, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful landing unless there is something below you to cushion your fall, such as a body of water or an immense pile of tissue paper. If you jump in front of a moving train, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful voyage, unless you are wearing some sort of train-proof suit. And if you jump for joy, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful bump on the head, unless you make sure you are standing someplace with very high ceilings, which joyous people rarely do. Clearly, the solution to anything involving jumping is either to make sure you are jumping to a safe place, or not to jump at all. But it is hard not to jump at all when you are jumping to conclusions, and it is impossible to make sure that you are jumping to a safe place, because all jumping to conclusions means is that you are believing something is true, even though you don't actually know whether it is or not. When the Baudelaire orphans heard from the three members of VFD's Council of Elders that Count Olaf had been captured, they were so excited that they immediately jumped to the conclusion that it was true.
"It's true,"
said one of the elders, which didn't help things any.
"A man arrived in town this morning, with one eyebrow and a tattoo of an eye on his ankle."
"It must be Olaf," Violet said, jumping to conclusions.
"Of course it is,"
the second council member said.
"He matched the description that Mr. Poe gave us, so we arrested him immediately."
"So it's true," Klaus said, joining his sister in the jump. "You've really captured Count Olaf."
"Of course it's true,"
the third woman said impatiently.
"We've even contacted the Daily Punctilio, and they'll write a story about it. Soon the whole world will know that Count Olaf has been captured at last."
"Hooray!"
cried Sunny, the last Baudelaire to jump to conclusions.
"The Council of Elders has called the special meeting,"
said the woman, who appeared to be the eldest elder. Her crow hat bobbed in excitement as she spoke.
"All citizens are required to go to Town Hall immediately to discuss what is to be done with him. After all, rule number 19,833 clearly states that no villains are allowed within the city limits. The usual punishment for breaking a rule is burning at the stake."
"Burning at the stake," Violet said.
"Of course,"
an elder said.
"Whenever we capture rule-breakers, we tie them to a wooden pole and light a fire underneath their feet. That's why I warned you about the number of nuts on my hot fudge sundae."
"It would be a shame to light you on fire."
"You mean the punishment is the same, no matter what rule you break?" Klaus asked.
"Of course,"
another elder replied.
"Rule number 2 clearly states that anyone who breaks a rule is burned at the stake. If we didn't burn a rule-breaker at the stake, we would be rule-breakers ourselves, and someone else would have to burn us at the stake, understand?"
"Sort of," Violet said, although in truth she didn't understand it at all. None of the Baudelaires did. Although they despised Count Olaf, the children didn't like the idea of lighting him on fire. Burning a villain at the stake felt like something a villain would do rather than something done by foul devotees. "But Count Olaf isn't just a rule-breaker," Klaus said, choosing his words very carefully. "He has committed all sorts of terrible crimes. It would seem best to turn him over to the authorities rather than burning him at the stake."
"Well, that's something we can talk about at the meeting,"
a councilwoman said.
"And we'd better hurry, or we'll be late. Hector, get down from that ladder."